listening to our New Chapel podcast. We're for people to connect with God and be raised to new life in Christ. Be sure to connect with us at newchapel.com and on social media to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.
I think that today, maybe even more than any other message in this series, has the potential to really unlock things within your heart, unlock things within your mind, hopefully, about God's best for you. And this series has all been about the key to everything, the key to everything. And in specific, we've said, write it down, teachability. That's what it is. That's the key to, well, I thought Jesus was the key to everything. Hey, if you're not teachable, you're not going to accept him. You know what I mean? You got to be teachable in order to even like open your mind to the potential that there is a Jesus that needs to be your savior. Amen? It's teachability. When we become teachable, it opens up different things in our lives where we can grow professionally. We can grow as a family man, family woman. You can grow at church. You can grow in your gifts because you become a teachable person. And we've talked about this concept of being agile in your mind so you can learn and that you can grow. And I could literally just roll off week after week practical, teachable principles. But with next week being the last week of the series, I'm kind of quickly realizing that I have to kind of make a decision about what I'm going to talk about. And so there's so many practical things I could tell you. And I love, my life has been changed. I love practical messages that give you all the points. And you'll see from today's message, I've got points for you. But I think I need to give you something that's more on a principle level than just even a practical thing. That if you grasp it, if you jump into the flow of this, I think that's where you're really going to grow. That's where you're going to be teachable in the long term. Because teachability is less of a place that we arrive, and it's more of like a posture that we take. It's not so much a destination that we arrive at. It's like somebody saying, okay, I'm going to be a disciple of Jesus. Great, I'm finally discipled. I graduated. Well, I'm telling you, the day that Billy Graham was received by Jesus, he was still learning to be more of a disciple. Does that make sense? It's a never-ending progress, and so is this journey of teachability. It's more like a state of being. I am currently teachable. I'm in that flow, that current, that stream that's going to take me where God has me. And when we abide in that, that's where I believe that God is going to really grow us. That's where we're going to have the answers to what we need. And so, guys, you know, there's practical things that can give you points, and I love things like that where you can go, and oh, I'm encountering something Pastor talked about. But what about encountering the situations where nobody's really talked about this? Nobody's really dealt with the issue, and you're out there in the wild, and you're experiencing something that some preacher didn't give you some flowery acronym for. You know, and you've never heard about this. How do I engage in something like this? And no pastor could ever go through everything. I can't tell you. I don't know everything. Well, it's all in the Bible. Well, great. It doesn't work by osmosis. We can't, like, rub it topically on our face and, like, don't you wish it worked that way? But it doesn't work that way. And then in the wild, when you're out there, there's just even no way that you could even remember everything that I could possibly say to you. So there's got to be something more. If you're out there and you get a job offer, it's a great job. It's the job you went to school for, and you've been in a career for a long time that was not what your degree's in. And you get this job offer, and you're excited about this job offer, but there's just one problem. You're finally planted, and your kids are finally, like, ingrained. And church is just, I mean, it's just doing its thing for your family. What do you do? What's the answer? God, I thought you gave me a call. This really resonated with me when I was in college. But now, in this instance, I don't know what to do. How about a family member that trashes your spouse, but they still want to have an in with your kids? What do you do? Well, what if there's somebody who's employed at a particular business and they begin to catch wind of just some things happening there that aren't right, or maybe not even legal? What does that person do in that type of instance? Well, it's easy. You just quit the job. Well, it's easy for you to say, I got kids to feed, and maybe they're not in a high level of authority. Maybe over them is somebody that's very integral. What do I do in this instance. There's a lot of things that are do's and don'ts in our life. And for a guy that's a little bit CDO, which is, what are you saying now? Yeah, OCD. I'm almost saying it in order now and almost refusing to say OCD because it's not in alphabetical order. So I like things nice and clean. It's difficult for me to kind of venture out of the do's and don'ts. It's difficult for me to really see the ambiguous things and hold on them because the do's and don'ts are easy. Do spend time with your kids, yeah? That's a positive. Don't cheat on your taxes. Easy. Do vote. Like, that's your civic responsibility. Go do it. Don't cuss on the expressway, especially since they closed 96, which makes no sense whatsoever. I mean, we're a major metropolitan city. Let's just close the expressway till June. I'm sorry, I'm angry about it, but I'll be seeing the prayer partners after church. There's this easy, simple, clear do's and don'ts, but how often is reality really even like that? How often is everything so black and white? I've been a fairly confident person for most of my adult life, certainly all of my Christian walk, but there was a season that I think I went through a spot where everything that I felt that I had a strong foundation on was really shaken. It was in the spring and summer of 2011. Kai and I were serving at a church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We were part of the youth team there. That's where I became a pastor, was at this church, and it was wonderful. I mean, just to be honest, who's who in Christianity went through those doors, and it was amazing. We had incredible access to a lot of the behind the scenes and got to see how this thing ran. It was a machine, man, and it was serving people like crazy, but it was in that season that this holy unrest hit me. I'm not talking about depression or anxiety or worry, just this feeling that, God, you've got more for me. You have another step for me. And this holy unrest just kind of thud in my heart. Like, it felt like a heartbeat, like you got more to do. And I'd be doing incredible work at church. Everybody was very pleased with the work I did. I got a great performance raise and promotions and things were happening. And there was no animosity between me and my boss. In fact, I loved him. He did my wedding. I mean, we were tight, but there was this thing that, God, there's got to be something more. I remember talking to Matt Scholl. He's a pastor friend of mine. He's actually planting a church in Miami, and I'm happy to say that New Chapel was, if not the, one of the first to sow a seed into that church plant. That was a cool opportunity. But I talked to Matt Scholl, and I said, hey, man, listen, my head's spinning. I know I got something more, but I don't even know what it is. I knew that I was supposed to plant a church, but I didn't know what was going to be in between there. There was even an opportunity that came up to sell insurance. And I know that probably sounds like, hey, you're in ministry, but this was actually a very lucrative business that this person had. And he kind of billed it to me like, hey, you'd be able to earn enough money in a couple years to plant your church and not have to raise a dime. I remember talking to Kaya's dad, and he gave me this wisdom nugget. He said to me, are you called to sell insurance or preach the gospel? It was very clarifying. I didn't need opinion in that moment. I was going all over the place. I had this holy unrest. I knew there was something more, but of all of the options, they all looked good. What do you do when they all look good or when they all look bad? You need wisdom in that moment. And there's issues in our lives that don't have a clear-cut answer. But Pastor Joe, the Bible has answers. Truer words were never spoken. But let me just tell you, if you go back to the index of the Bible and try to find somewhere where it talks about when it's appropriate to date after your spouse dies, you're going to come up empty. Much less those of you that are parents of teenagers, when you should allow them to date, which will be just help you. It's never. That's not in the Bible, but it's never. And so today, what I want to give you is less of just a whole bunch of like points, like do these things. I will give you some practical things because I'm me and I love lists. But what I want to give you is more of a compass that when you're out there in the wild, you can fall back on the wisdom of God. Write it down. Wisdom is the secret weapon that allows us to stay in the current of teachability long term. And guys, I've learned that wisdom is a journey. It's not a destination. If we want to be in this thing long term, you're going to have to muster up some wisdom. But it can't just be worldly wisdom. It can't just be something that you think. It has to be eternal godly wisdom. That's what we want in this place. Amen. So I'm gonna take us through a journey of four questions I think every Christian needs to ask themselves about all of this. And the first one is this: what is wisdom? What is wisdom? Write that down. What is wisdom? How does this whole thing work? Dictionary.com defines it as this. It says, it is the quality or state of being wise. Time out, party foul. How are you going to use the word wise to define the word wise? Anyway, knowledge of what is true or right coupled with the judgment of just action. What? For those of you that were educated in the Northwoods, let me just make it a little bit more simple for you. Here's a practical definition of wisdom. Write this down. Knowing the right thing to do and doing it. How's that? Let me just cut the fluff for a second. You got to know what the right thing to do, and then you got to do that thing. And what we want to do here at New Chapel is help you to do it. And so, ushers, if you guys could please come forward. I have a way that I think that we can grow in our teachability, grow in our wisdom, and really help us all to get organized. If you're an adult or a teenager in the room and you want a little aid in taking notes, lift your hands. Go ahead and grab one of these from the ushers. Yeah, let me tell you what this is. This little mini binder, very, very handy tool. What we're going to do is on a weekly basis, inside your weeklies, we're going to hand you every single week teaching notes. And if you open this up, you can see it actually has fill in the blank. If you haven't gotten your binder yet, you can see it up there on the screen. And it has fill in the blank. For a guy like me that has so many scriptures and so many lists, this just became your best friend. If you are a note taker in the room, this is one of the most satisfying moments of your week right now. I understand. You're welcome. And if you're an artistic drawy person, I just gave you some great paper to doodle on, and you're welcome in Jesus' name. But guys, this is going to be a tool, I think, that's going to help us to really take practical steps of knowing what to do and then doing it. Amen? And if you need to catch up on the fill in the blanks because you're a little bit CDO like me, wisdom is the secret weapon that allows us to stay in the current of teachability long term. And that's all I'm going to give you. The person next to you that was obedient and blessed and they've been taking notes the whole time, they can help you fill in the rest. But bring this to church with you every single week and we will give you the inserts that you can put in them. I think that this is going to become a cultural thing around here. I'm really excited about these binders. I think that you'll all enjoy them. And you can collect the whole set. There's four of them. Our gift to you. Guys, the biblical launch pad for wisdom in the Bible is found in the book of Proverbs. If you have a copy of the scripture, you should turn to the book of Proverbs. It's primarily where we're going to be camping out today. And Solomon, who was the son of King David, he wrote the book of Proverbs. And this is what he said about it in Proverbs 1. He said, "These are the Proverbs. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise." Man, I want the insights of the wise in my life, don't you? I want to know what to do next. He says in Proverbs 8, and this is Solomon rating it, but I love how he begins to kind of get into the flow of what wisdom is. He says, "Listen as wisdom calls out." It capitalizes wisdom. All through the book of Proverbs, it actually personifies wisdom as a person, and in specific as a woman, which for all the men in the room, we need to just look at each other and say amen right now, Jesus' name. "Hear as understanding raises her voice. On the hilltop along the road." I want you to note that for a second, along the road. What is this saying? In the journey of life, when you're just going through life, along the road, she takes her stand at the what? At the crossroads. Say it with me. At the what? At the crossroads. And why is that important? Because that's where you got to make a decision. That's where you got to know. I'm at a crossroads in my life, God. What do I do next? That's where wisdom is there. And what is she doing? She's standing there by the gates at the entrance to the town. By the way, we're missing some of the symbolism. The gates of the town, they're talking specifically about Jerusalem. That was where they had court, like where judges met, was at the gates to the town. This is a spot of decision. On the road leading in, she cries out aloud, "I call to you, to all of you. I will raise my voice to all people." What is this saying? Some of y'all should be so assured, because when you go through crossroads of life, God has wisdom and it is screaming at you what you need to do. Verse 11 says this, "Wisdom is far more valuable than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with it." Amen, somebody? It's calling out to us. It's at the decision point. And the Bible says that this wisdom thing, write this down, is a special thing. That when you're plugged into it, it reveals a next level of existence that God makes available to us. So that's what wisdom is. The second question that I think we as Christians need to work through is this: what are the benefits of wisdom? Like, okay, what's this all about? Proverbs 2 says this: "For the Lord gives wisdom." In other words, all wisdom comes from God, if it is really wisdom. Like, you might even hear somebody of a different faith say something and it's very wise. All wisdom comes from God, okay? And so the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. And he is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. Did you catch some of the benefits that God has for us? The first one is that we will have success. When we live our lives seeking God's wisdom, walking in the wisdom of God, that's where we will have a successful walk. And he promises us a successful life. It might not be what the world's standard of success is, but God's standard of success. And that's the important thing. Say amen, somebody. And the second thing that he says there is that there's a shield. For those of you in the room who are particularly pious, holy people, godly people, you're very excited about this week. It's a holy week. And you know what I'm talking about. It's the week that the new Star Wars Solo movie is going to be coming out. Amen. And I love Star Wars. I love the story. My brother and I, we geek out with it. My nephew loves it. I've been holding off my boys because I realize that when we go Star Wars, there's just no going back. I mean, we are on an X-Wing until they graduate from high school. And so I'm excited about it. One of the main reasons is in A New Hope, which is episode 4, the first one that came out. If you don't know, I'm not explaining it. But they had the Death Star on there. What did the Death Star have? Deflector shields. That's why Obi-Wan had to go and risk his life on that cliff to turn them down. I'm giving you guys some wisdom right now. I don't know why you aren't. I'm more excited about this. But deflector shields. I love it because you're trying to get in, but you can't. There's a shield around it. What God says is when you walk in wisdom, there's shields all around you. It's kind of like if you're hanging out with me and you see me walk into the car, maybe we're leaving Applebee's, and I'll walk up to my car, and I really think that I am Batman in 1989. Batman, I'm Michael Keaton. I'll just go, shields on, and I'll click my little button. How many of y'all just like it was the greatest novelty in the world when you got a little clicker for your car? Sorry, I'm from the north, and so that was a big deal for me when I got that. And it's shields. And so what God says is, I'm going to give a shield around you. What is that? In particular, I think it's going to shield you from yourself. I think it's going to shield you from stupid decisions. And stupid is what we're talking about here in the Greek or something. And we need a shield around us. It says in Proverbs 2:8, this is the next scripture, that he guards the paths of the just and protects those who are faithful to him. He guards and protects. Well, I thought that he already has a shield. The shield is something that we need to apply. Like, it's wisdom. We need to do the things that we need to do, but then he guards and he protects. In other words, when you start to walk in wisdom, there's a divine protection that goes around your life. In other words, he takes it personal. Amen, somebody? That's what we need. It continues on, verse 9, "Then you'll understand what is right and just and fair." Every good path. What is it saying? You're going to get it. Every good path. You're going to know what to do. That's good, Pastor Joe. What's next? No, listen to me. When every option seems good, When you're not feeling anything here, and even every option could be right and you don't know, or every option's wrong and you don't know which one to pick, and everything in you is saying, none of these are good. The Bible says that when you start to walk in this current of wisdom, you're going to get to the spot where you're going to know what the good path is. You're going to know what to do, and that is something only God can deposit into our life. Say amen, somebody. Amen. Third question, where do we get it? Okay, great, I'm sold. I want wisdom, Pastor Joe. Where do I get it? Where do I get wisdom? The first way is in the Bible. Write that down. It's in the Bible. The first way that you're going to grow in wisdom is in the Bible. Proverbs 4. My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. This is God, the Holy Spirit, speaking through Solomon, right? This is the Lord speaking to us now. He says, listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. Guys, the Bible says of itself that when you get into the Word, it's literally life-giving to you. It's literally something that brings healing into your life. Some of y'all need a touch from God. Get into the Word of God. It will give you wisdom, but it's also life into you. And if you're a person in this room and you're like, hey, I'm just starting out in this game. I need more wisdom. Or maybe you've been in the game long enough to make some mistakes, eat some crow, order a slice of humble pie from Rosie's, you know, like you need some more wisdom. Proverbs is your book. And here's why. There's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. And you know, aside from like February and a couple other months, there's typically 31 days in a normal month. Again, we're messing up all the OCD people on February. You're trying to make it up, or am I not supposed to make it up? Am I going against the flow if I do that? That's your problem. But there's 31 chapters. And if you just read the one that coincides with that day, like what's the day today, somebody? The 20th? It'd be Proverbs 20. You're going to jump in, read through Proverbs 20. It's short. You'd be very surprised. Probably 4 or 5 minutes max every day. You read through that. That's how you're going to get into wisdom. You need wisdom for your marriage? It's Proverbs. You need wisdom for your job? It's in Proverbs. You want to get ahead at work? It's in Proverbs. You want people to like you? It's in Proverbs. Some of y'all need that anointing on your life. You want to be a better parent? You need the book of Proverbs. You want peace? You want a long life? It's in the book of Proverbs. You want to get ahead financially? It's in the book of Proverbs. And if you sink yourself into that, sink yourself into the Word of God, that's where you're going to get it. Proverbs 4:10, my child, listen to me. Do as I say. Don't just listen to the stuff and be like, he's right. I know I'm right. That's one of the blessings of being me. But beyond me just being right and you saying amen, go do it. Go do the Word of God. Do as I say, and you will have a long, good life. Don't y'all want a good life? Verse 13, take hold of my instructions. This is not a passive thing. Don't let them go. Guard them, for they are key. They're the key to life. You want the key to everything? It's teachability. It's teachability. And this wisdom thing is like, it's like the attitude of teachability. That's the key to this whole thing. So the first thing is the Bible. The second thing is you need to ask for it. You need to ask for it. So you'll get wisdom from the Bible, but then you need to pray. You need to ask God. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach. Without reproach. I went to a church growing up that I felt like if I asked a question, I was, you know, like the deacon was going to like take a rubber band and shoot it at me, you know, and I didn't want to ask any questions. You know what God's saying? Hey, jump in. Come into the throne room. Ask any question that you have, and I'm going to give without reproach, and it will be given to you. When you need wisdom and when it counts, God's going to be there. Guys, I planted a new chapel when I was 26. If I go to a nice restaurant, I ask for people to park my car who are older than 26. I don't even want you driving my car. Like, that's a lot, okay? So I have no idea how the Lord trusted me, but at 26, he counted me faithful to go plant a church. Go plant a church, Bev. Okay. And so I go to go plant this church. I'm 26. Did I mention that? I needed so much wisdom on so many different things that I'd never faced before. And so I asked God, I said, God, give me wisdom beyond my years. Give me wisdom beyond my years. So when I speak to people that I'm not some kid, but I'm speaking your word and your wisdom. And I've gone through some things here at this church. There's been facility things that we've had to figure out and negotiations, and God gave me supernatural wisdom to get through it. There's been times where I've counseled people that are going through drama in their lives, and God's given me supernatural wisdom to speak a word. I remember two of our door greeters. Oh, I love them so much. Married couple, and one of them passed away unexpectedly. It really affected me. And I asked God, God, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom on how to engage in the situation. God gave me wisdom beyond my years. And guys, I'm here to tell you that if He can do it for me, He can do it for every single one of us in this room who need wisdom. With your kids, man, my kids are acting crazy. Pastor Joe, what do I need to do? You need to draw on God's Holy Spirit and ask Him for wisdom. Man, my boss is a nut. He's certifiable. I want to get him committed. Well, you may need to, but ask for wisdom on who to call, you know? And so God will give you wisdom, but you have to ask for it. Say amen, somebody. So you get it from the Bible. You can ask God. But the third one is this. You got to get it from wise people. Wise people. Proverbs 13:20. Walk with the wise and you become wise. Associate with that fool and you're going to get in trouble. It's going to mess you up. I think that it's possible that some of us in this room this weekend, you're held back in life because you're hanging out with some of your dumb friends that might be holding you back in your life. And you got to, can I say that? You got to walk with wise people. Could it be that you're held back just because of some of the people that you're hanging out with? Well, aren't we supposed to minister to everyone? Well, minister to them, but that doesn't mean that you got to, like, pick out Tupperware together. And you got to be around wise people, people that are going to edify you, build you up. Some of y'all look at me like, I don't know what you're talking about. You have dumb friends then. You're just trying to defend your crazy family or something. What you need to do is find somebody wise. You need to get around somebody who's smarter than you, wiser than you, that's making the decisions that you value in your life. I remember Kai and I were down at a pastor's conference, and we had the opportunity to have dinner with a man named Pastor Kevin Myers. Kevin Myers, he's the pastor of 12 Stone Church in Atlanta, 20 to 30,000 people on any given weekend. I mean, just, that's like a city, you know? I mean, that's a lot. And so we had the opportunity to sit down with him, and he really sowed into us because for the first 10 years, was it, of his church, he couldn't break $1.50. 150 people. Imagine 10 years of being faithful, can't break it, struggling to do it. He had a meet in a jazzercise for a couple years, and he was mobile forever. But all of a sudden, God did his thing in a moment, and they went from 0 to 60, so to speak. And so we're sitting at a table with him and his executive leadership team, something only God could have orchestrated. And he said, most people want to know how once we got to 1,500 people that we were able to zip up to 20,000 people in just a matter of years. And I said, Pastor Kevin, I'm grateful to God for that, but I could care less. I want to know how to get to 500. And he said, son, let's talk. And essentially edged out his leadership team and began to speak to Kai and I for about 30, 40 minutes. And in that time, he's talking and I'm looking at him and I'm thinking, this guy's forgot stuff that I don't know yet. You know, like, he's wise. I gotta get this guy in my life. I gotta get around people like this because they're speaking my language. This is life to me. That's why we do small groups at New Chapel. That's why we encourage you to get around people. And could it be because some of us in the room are still dealing with a lump of pride that you don't want to ask the new hotshot at work that's making more sales than you what his secret sauce is, because you don't want to be teachable. I don't want any of that kind of stuff. You got to get around him. You got to learn what he is. Well, he's a jerk. Well, great. Learn the wisdom from him. Take in the hay, spit out the stubble, and drop your pride. Maybe you're dealing with some bad juju in your marriage, right? And you're fighting a little bit, and you don't know what to do, and you've just got the spiritual pride, this lump in you that's like, I'm not going to ask anybody. What you need to do is you need to go and talk to Ed and Sheila because they got a great marriage. You got to say, hey, would you pour into me? I'm fighting like cats and dogs. And I'm sure you've never done that, but maybe you've seen that and y'all could help me because I need some wisdom. Does that make sense? We need wisdom in our life. Say amen, somebody. And it's counterculture, but it's what we need. Number four, and the last question that I have for us that we need to really wrestle with is, what are some examples? What are some examples of wisdom found in the book of Proverbs? I think that it helps us, it helps me to have some practical examples. So what I'm going to do is just give you some rapid fire kind of answers to kind of life's issues. I can't answer them all, but I think that I'm going to show you how chock full of treasure the book of Proverbs is. There's different principles. The first one would be the generosity principle. This is found in Proverbs 11:24. Give freely and you'll become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. The generous will prosper, and those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Yeah, talk about countercultural is when Kai and I would get into financial jams and we had a little bit of money, but it couldn't meet the whole bill. Me looking at her and saying, babe, listen, we don't even have enough to be able to meet this. We might just as well take it and sow it into another ministry, sow it into the church, bless somebody with it, because we don't have enough already. And we do it, and what happens is God meets our need in a supernatural way. I never thought I would be a person who would ever give a car away, but I've given 3 cars away in my life. You better listen to the Lord ask you to do that, otherwise you're just going to be without a car. But the Lord asked you to sow it. Man, give freely. Give freely. You know what happened? Every time that we've done it, God's blessed us in return. We have good quality cars. I've never had a loan for it. Why? The Lord has supplied it through a generosity principle. Here's another one. I love this one. This is the watch your mouth principle. This is from Inner City Nuevo. Proverbs 13, those who control their tongue will have a long life. Opening your mouth can ruin everything. I've been told in my life, guys, that I have a sharp tongue. I've been told that. I've been told that it's my greatest strength, and it's always been my greatest weakness. And I remember when I was real young, we had a van that came by our house and would pick my sister and I up to go to Sunday school. We were a church that had Sunday school. And so we went to Sunday school, and I must have been acting just wild that day. And the people that brought us to Sunday school, Rex and Cheryl were their names, and they will have eternal reward in heaven. But the people who were watching me back in Sunday school must have had it with me. And some lady grabbed me, and she was going to go drag me over to the main sanctuary to go grab Rex and Cheryl and to tell them how bad that I've been. And as she's grabbed me, I'm like, what are you doing? She says, I believe the devil has got a hold of you, Joe Bevilacqua. And I looked up at her and says, I believe that he has. So I don't even have to think about that. That just comes. It's there. It's effortless. And so it's been a great strength in my life, but it's been a big weakness. And so I've had to learn through time and trial to watch that tongue of mine, because it gets me into a lot of blessing, but it also can get me into a lot of trouble. Watch your mouth. Watch that thing. It's biblical. Next one, the encouragement principle. Proverbs 12:25, worry weighs a person down. An encouraging word cheers a person up. That word worry there, maybe in your Bible, it says anxiety. When you have anxiety, depression, you're down, you got a funk on you. I mean, it's just kind of messing you up. It's weighing you down. The Bible says that the easiest way to kind of shake that thing is to encourage somebody. Now, I think it works both ways. Somebody can come up to you and encourage you if you're going through something, but you might not be surrounded by godly people yet. You might still have to make those relationships, and so you might have to take initiative. And I get it. You're anxious. You're full of worry. You're down. You're depressed. It's the last thing you want. Well, that's the thing that's going to break the flow. So you might need to call somebody up on said jitterbug. You might need to text somebody. You might need to buy somebody a little treat, or show up at their work with a Coke or whatever it's going to be to bless them and just encourage them, because the Bible says that that's the way that you're going to shake that thing. Say amen, somebody. The wise counsel principle, Proverbs 11:14, without wise leadership, a nation falls, but there's safety in having many advisors. The NIV there would say, for a lack of guidance, a nation falls. And I'm taking a little bit of liberty here, but you could probably put a lot of things where it says the word nation. For lack of wise counsel, a person falls. For lack of wise counsel, a business falls, an organization, a family falls. When Kai and I get into tough spots in the ministry, we call everybody. We're talking to people that have done it before. I'm on the phone on a regular basis with our board. We don't have like a puppet board. I'm talking to them because I need wisdom beyond my years. And one of the ways that you're going to find it is in wise counsel. Then there's the little by little principle. And this one's key, especially for those of you that are entrepreneurial or you have vision for bigger things. Proverbs 13, wealth from get-rich-quick schemes quickly disappears, but wealth from hard work grows over time. Any financial advisor, whether you're in the room or in America, would tell you that same principle. They would just call it, it's the dollar cost averaging. I mean, but it's godly wisdom. And so what you need to realize is it's going to be the hard work that's going to take you to the next level, to the level that God has for you, which leads me to this one. I love this one. This one I like to call the shut up and work principle. Shut your mouth and work principle. And this is my little love letter to all of you in the room who have those little children that are in their 20s living in your basement. And the Bible says, Proverbs 14, work! Work brings profit, but mere talk leads to poverty. I'm teasing just a little bit. I'm tickling, but you should encourage them to work. Give them that little left foot of fellowship and bless their hiney to work in Jesus' name. You know, I just wish it worked by osmosis. You know, just my God. You know, just while they're sleeping, rub it on them. But the second part of that scripture says mere talk leads to poverty. How many of y'all have been around a big talker? They talk a lot. They got a lot of things to say. And I found with those people, it's kind of big hat, no cattle, you know. And okay, that's a great conversation. What are you doing? Oh, listen, shucks, I'm between jobs. But I got, okay, awesome. I'm going to go find somebody that's doing something. And that's who I'm going to invest with. Amen, somebody. Last one that I'm going to give you in rapid fire is the God knows principle. Proverbs 16, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. One of the things that you're going to deal with if you become a Christian is a life that might have some unmet expectations. Maybe you were younger and you kind of had this vision that life was going to be a certain way and you're in a stage of life you never thought that you would be in, and there's unmet expectations. And one of the things that God can minister through is all of those let downs and all of that gap in between what you thought was going to happen, what really did happen, because we can know that God has a plan through anything. Whether you were unwise and you did it to yourself or somebody did it to you, that God can work through all of it. So there's wisdom. There's what it is, the benefits, how are we going to get it? What does it look like? But then I want to ask you a question, and maybe you should ask it in small group this week. Maybe you should ask it to yourself in your quiet time, but it is this: what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about wisdom? You hear a message like this, and as I go through, you're like, yep, 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 I agree, that makes sense, I like that, that resonates with me. What are you going to do about it? What decisions are you going to make about it? Maybe you heard this wisdom. You say, that's right and that's good and I need to do more of it, but you're hearing it and you're far from God. You don't have a relationship with God, but you're hearing this wisdom and it makes sense. What do you do? The Bible says in Proverbs 9 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of this walk. It's the beginning of this journey of wisdom. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The fear of God. What is that saying? Fear is... it's not talking about being afraid of him. This is an old English word. We would say it this way: the awesome, severe respect, the severe reverence of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When you really understand that it all comes from him, and that we rely on him, that he has the words to life, And maybe you're outside of the family of God and you say, man, I want to jump in. Well, the beginning of it is just realizing, hey, I'm far from God and I need to be close to God. When you become a Christian, it's not that you know it all, but this is what he does. It says in 1 Corinthians 1, God has made unto us, who's us? It's the Christians in the room. He's made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, meaning this, you draw on that Holy Spirit within you and you can walk in that wisdom. But if you're far from God, you want in. I get it. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray here just in a second. And if you're far from God in the room, but you want to bridge that relationship, the only way to do it is through God's Son, Jesus. Jesus is God's one and only Son. And he was sent into the world to kind of make things right. He died on a cross that had your name on it. His blood paid the price for our sins, and through accepting him as Lord, Lord means boss, you become saved. Saved from what? Saved from a Christless eternity in hell, that when you would die, you would glean an eternity in heaven with Jesus. But eternal life doesn't start when you die. It starts the moment that you accept him into your life. That life of God will enter in. And you can walk in this world with peace. I'm not saying you'll never have a trial. I'm not saying that you're never going to go through anything. But even on your worst day, it's always better with Jesus. So we're going to pray. If you want to bridge this gap and find that eternal life, that eternal walk with God, if you say this prayer and mean it from your heart, the Bible says that you'll be saved. Church, let's say it with them in support as people are giving their lives to Christ. Pray it with me. Pray, Father, in Jesus' name, I come before you today in search of a new way. You said in your word, if I would call Jesus Lord, I would be saved. Jesus, I now call you Lord. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean of all unrighteousness. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for making all things new. In Jesus' name. Amen. Would you give it up for all those people that accepted Christ in the room? Praise God. Hey, stand up on your feet all over this room. If you did accept Christ, check the box on your connection card. You can leave it on your seat or put it inside one of the drop boxes as you leave the room. Hand it to a leader. Also, if you want prayer, if you have a need in your spirit, soul, or body, we have prayer partners that would love to agree with you in the Word of God right up here at the front of the room. After second service today, we're going to have the third class of New Chapel Connect. Maybe you just want to catch some lunch, get some coffee out in the cafe. You can come back for that third class. It's going to be amazing. Can I pray for you real quick before we leave? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, and give you his peace. And as you go, you guys are dismissed. Have an awesome weekend. You guys are dismissed.
We hope that you were encouraged and brought closer to God during this message. You can listen to any of our past messages and series either on this podcast or on newchapel.com/watch. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook or Instagram to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.